Let's open our Bibles up to Isaiah chapter 49 this evening. It was good to see you out this evening. Perhaps I don't need to speak this evening because I'm going to be talking on mercy, and you've shown mercy to me already by turning up. So you know a little bit about mercy already. I've been having a quiet time in the book of Titus. It's one of my favourite books, the book of Titus. The character of Titus is a godly man. And I was going to preach on the young men and the old men in Titus. Then pastors decided he would do fathers and sons and things. So I thought, no, I won't go there. And then I thought, no, I don't fit into the young men or the old men. So I couldn't find any ground there. But I did find a verse, and later on we'll see a verse in Titus chapter 3 about God's mercy. And what God's mercy offers to us in the book of Titus. This evening I want to talk to you about mercy. And I'm sure this evening that if it weren't for God's mercy, I would be speaking to an empty room. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for God's mercy. There'd be no one here. This here would still be an abandoned Telstra building if it weren't for God's mercy. And let's have a look then at some verses here in the book of Isaiah just to get us started. Not that we're going to stay long here, but this gives us just a few ideas about God's mercy, and that's what we're looking at this evening. Starting at verse 7 of Isaiah 49, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. But thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall be fed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in the high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them, for he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from afar, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted." Got a great passage here that mentions God's mercy and talks about the Messiah and what he's going to be doing for his people and showing mercy to them and, of course, mercy to us. Mercy, something we can't do without. Let's just pray as we begin this evening. Our loving Lord and Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that we can come aside just to have your word open before us this evening. We pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that your word would live before us. Your Holy Spirit would just help us, Lord God, to be instructed, to see these precious passages on mercy, Lord God, to encourage our hearts to study further of your greatness and of your character. We just yield ourselves to you. We yield our thoughts to you. We yield our being to you this evening, and pray that you'd bless us with your great mercy now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's a couple of Hebrew words used for mercy, and that give us a little bit of an idea what mercy is all about. And one of those words means this, to bow. That is, just bow the neck down, to bow to somebody in courtesy. That is to be kind, to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior, to favour or bestow. There's another word that's also used, that's used quite often as the word compassion. Now, the word mercy is used about, just the word mercy by itself, is used about 276 times in the Bible, and that that quite a few references to that are to the mercy seat, and that could have been a study all in itself this evening, just about the mercy seat. But the word mercy is used about 276 times in the Bible, and that excludes things like mercies and merciful and things like that. But there's one word meaning compassion which has a root understanding in the cherishing of a child in the womb, a tender love, a great tender mercy or pity. The Greek word that's used for mercy literally means to compassionate by word or deed, and specifically of divine grace, to have compassion on, pity on, to have mercy or to show mercy on. That's an interesting word, that word, compassionate. Has anyone ever heard that word before? Compassionate. It's real. To compassionate. You might be able to use that word this week when you experience the Lord's mercy. I've just been compassionated. Okay, or something like that. Or, you know, I've just experienced the Lord's compassionation. All right. And then, you've, of course, the Good Samaritan. Okay, he was compassionated, and of course then he was the compassionatee and the compassionator. Okay, it's an interesting word, isn't it? I've never heard it before, but then when I started thinking about it, I thought, that's a really good word, compassionate. Okay, so if you want to show some mercy this week, go out and compassionate with people. The English word for mercy comes from the Latin, and the Latin is misericordia. Doesn't sound a very exciting word, does it? But it's composed of two words. Miserans, which means pity, and cor, which means... Anyone know Latin? Dad, you know, cor means? The heart. Okay? So, pity and the heart. So, at its base, we've got the idea of pity in the heart, or pain of the heart, at this idea of mercy. And I've got a little bit of a definition for mercy for you. God's mercy is that gentleness, compassion, and tender care with which he deals with his failing and feeble people. That tender loving kindness which forbears and suffers with the erring sinner. And we'll be able to think on these things as we look at it this week. Now, that has been my quiet time, so this is my quiet time. I've been looking back at the book of Titus. Quite a few years ago, I looked at the book of Titus when I was a bit younger, when I fed into that young part, okay? But I just, somewhere in between now. So I've been looking at the book of Titus and came across these verses. Now, the outline this evening is an acrostic, all right? Who knows what an acrostic is? Okay, and it's using each of the letters of the word mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, all right? So I'll tell you the outline now so you can write it down if you're wishing to write this down. But the first letter, M, for mercy is manifested or revealed mercy. The second letter, E, extended and fulfilled mercy. The third letter, what's that? Now, I'm just checking. Recommended or required mercy. Fourth letter, consistent mercy. And lastly, your personal mercy. So we use that as a bit of an outline today, and hopefully it'll keep us on track as we go on. So number one, beginning with M for mercy, our manifested or revealed mercy. You know, God's mercy is no secret. God doesn't keep it hidden away somewhere in a little box and we have to go off and discover it. Okay? God openly shows us his mercy. We don't have to search for it. It's there. We just need to look around and we see God's mercy. God manifests or reveals his mercy in abundance. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, shall we? The book of Nehemiah. And we're going to have a look at some verses here in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9. And we find in Nehemiah chapter 9, prior to verse 16, Nehemiah rehearsing to the people the history of Israel. And we begin at verse 16. As he talks here, he says, "But they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments and refused to obey, neither were they mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to bondage. But thou art a God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not." God revealed his mercy to this group of people. Even though they rebelled and ignored him, he still revealed himself and manifested his mercy to them. And in an ultimate show of mercy, he brought them to the land, didn't he? His provision and ultimate bringing them into the land showed his great love and mercy toward his people, even though he called them there, they were hard-necked, they rebelled, they forsook him, but he didn't forsake them. God showed them great mercy. And we can see this in this story of the Israelites, how that over and over again they grumbled and complained. They grumbled and complained and complained a little bit more. And God still showed them great mercy and allowed them to enter into that promised land. And it sounds a little bit like me, doesn't it? Perhaps a little bit like you. But God really needed to show me some mercy. He really needed to show us some mercy, didn't he? Because we're pretty much like those people. It doesn't take much for us to grumble or complain about our lot in life. But God still shows his mercy. And rather than doling out the judgment that we might deserve, what does God do? He mercifully loves us and shows us his kindness. Every time we confess a sin, God shows us mercy. And he has that untiring desire to show us his mercy. Let's have a look in Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And most of us will know these verses, beginning at verse 19. "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." Sounds nice, doesn't it? "My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Now, I'm sure those things would leave a foul aftertaste, wouldn't they? And that's what sin does, isn't it? When we're convicted of sin, there's this foul aftertaste. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." Okay, it's not those things before. He's not having hope in what this foul aftertaste that he's got, but it's this. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." God reveals and manifests his mercies to us every morning. They're there, fresh and new, every morning. They're not some reheated thing from the day before, or you don't go to the freezer and get it out, it's frozen or pickled or whatever. Okay, these mercies are new to us and fresh to us every morning. Every moment of the day. Now, how did he ultimately show us his mercy? It was revealed in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet today, as in Israel's day, there are men who rebel and reject God's gift of mercy. God offers it to them, he reveals it to them, he shows them, he manifests them this wonderful mercy. It's there for them to use, it's new every morning, but still they rebel and reject it. In Psalm 130 in verse 7, we find out a little bit more about God's mercy. Psalm 130 in verse 7, it says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord." There's a song we sing, "My hope is in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption." there's an abundance of mercy and loving kindness being revealed to us and being manifested toward us. And I wonder how thankful we are day by day as God's mercies are new to us every day and His faithfulness is great to us. I wonder how thankful we are for God's mercies. How thankful were you today for God's mercies? How thankful are you for when you read God's word and you see His mercy there on the pages of God's word? How thankful are you that God has revealed to you His mercy? What's your reaction when God reveals mercy to you? When God does something merciful toward you, or you see God's word, a great mercy in God's word, what's your reaction? Is it like Paul's in 2 Corinthians? Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. This is Paul's reaction when he thinks of God's mercy. He says this: "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Paul's reaction was this: "Blessed be God." Is that your reaction when you see God's mercy? When God's merciful to you, you say, "Praise the Lord, blessed be God. Boy, we've got a great God. He is such a merciful God." This is how we should recognize and react to the mercies from the Father of mercies. So let's make sure that we get into that good habit of knowing that each and every morning there's this new, fresh mercy for you. And each and every day that you can say, "Blessed be God, thank you for your mercy to me." Because we really need it, don't we? Number two, what's the second letter? E, right, we're awake, good. Extended and fulfilled mercy. Let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Extended and fulfilled. Luke chapter 18. And here we find the story of the Pharisee and the publican. We're going to begin in verse 13. Just the reaction of the publican. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner," or literally, "the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." God's mercy here was extended to the publican. And if you know anything about these publicans here, they weren't very well-liked people. Okay, they were the ones that came around and took your money. All right? They weren't very well-liked. The Pharisees held a higher position in society. But here, this publican was not a proud man. This publican was a man that was abased. And God extended His mercy to this publican. And it was this man that went away justified because of God's mercy. In God's word, we often find one of two things linked with mercy. One of them is grace, and the other one is truth. Truth and grace are quite often come together with God's mercy. And mercy marks God's dealings with His children, and it is His grace that triggers His acts of loving kindness and mercy being extended to us. Mercy and grace go hand in hand. His dealings with us show us His mercy. I want to look at a few things that tell us how He does extend or offer His mercy to us. How is God's loving kindness fulfilled toward us? You know, it's not just out there. It's just not manifest. When I talked about manifest, I was thinking about there's some really good things in God's word that tell us, yes, there is mercy out there. It's not just out there to admire. All right? It's not just out there for us to say, oh, that was nice. The publican experienced mercy. But God extends that same mercy to you tonight. It's just not for others. God extends it and fulfills it in your lives. So how does he do this? Let's turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. We'll just have a quick look at some ways that God shows us his mercy. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3, 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. First of all, God extends his mercy to us through salvation. And this truly is a great truth, and this is where it all sprang from in the book of Titus. This is a great truth, and we are saved because of God's mercy. Our salvation boils down to this. It boils down to God's mercy, not anything that we can do. And that's what that verse tells us. It says there, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's got nothing to do with what we could do. Our salvation boils down to this. God's mercy, not anything we could do, because basically we were his enemies. But only his mercy saved us. It was only because of God's mercy that we could experience salvation. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. How long did I say we had this week? Didn't you say 45 minutes last week? We might need that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. We are quickened, we're made alive through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are taken from death to life because of what? Because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy. And it tells us there that he is rich in mercy. Okay? A superabundance of mercy. One of our favourite Greek words, I don't know whether it applies to this, is hooperonkos. Where's our Greek? What's hooperonkos mean? It's superabundant. It is. Yep, could be that. And my girls don't believe me sometimes when I come out with these hooperonkos and things like Lego. Chris still doesn't believe me about Lego. But hooperonkos is a superabundance. God has this superabundance of mercy. He's rich in mercy, and he shows us this mercy. And he gives it to us even though we were dead in rebellion, and he gives us life. He gives us life. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed, here's Paul's reaction again, but Peter giving the same reaction to God's mercy. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay? Blessed be God. That's a good reaction to have, isn't it? Because of what he's done for us, he's given us this abundant mercy, he's given us a lively hope, taken us from death to life. God extends his mercy to us. His mercy is ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. All that the holiness of God demanded, his love provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's on this basis that he saves. You get so many people that tell us, that say, you know, God can't be a loving God. And God is a loving God because he loved us even though we rebel all the time. Even though we reject him, he still loves us. His love for us doesn't change. So don't tell me that God isn't a loving God. Okay? It just doesn't make sense to me that people can say, well, God can't be a loving God. Look what's happening in the world. God is a loving God because he shows us his mercy. God's greatest act of mercy was sending his son to die for us. God's ultimate act of stooping down was sending down his son. God's most significant, heartfelt act of pity was when he looked down to see with a painful heart the sin of man and sent Christ as a remedy for sin. Is God's mercy revealed or extended in your life? Has the truth been manifested to you? Have you experienced that mercy of God, or is it still just a story to you? Number three, recommended or required mercy. Let's turn to the book of Micah, shall we? The book of Micah, chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says here in verse 8, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord thy God. Now that's got a question at the end there. And the question answers itself, doesn't it? This is what you are supposed to be doing before the Lord your God. This is what the Lord not just recommends, but requires of you. And that is this, that you desire to love mercy. It's a requirement for you to have as part of your character. As God is merciful, what does it say in Luke 6:36? Be merciful as I am merciful. Okay? God wants us to be merciful. And that in Luke 6:36, that's a passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, you need to be merciful as God is merciful. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a formula for the happy disciple. Because how does it go back in Matthew? Blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. This is the formula for the happy disciple. And part of you leading a blessed life is that you be merciful as God is also merciful. So take it on board as part of your character. Take on God's mercy as part of your character. What are some practical applications that we could have in relation to this? Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. We could find a lot in the book of Proverbs about mercy. There's a lot in the book of Psalms about mercy. And you could just park yourself there for a while and study about mercy in these two books. Proverbs 14, verse 21, a practical application. He that despiseth his neighbour sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Here's a practical application of mercy. Here's how you can be merciful as God is merciful. Don't despise your neighbour. Okay, we could go to the Good Samaritan again and look at that there. Compassionate them. Compassionate them. But he that hath mercy on the poor, here it is again. Happy is he. He's blessed. You want to live a happy and fulfilled life? Be merciful. Take on that characteristic and show mercy to your neighbour. Show mercy to those people around you. Show mercy to those who are, it says here, poor. Whether that be poor in this earthly sense or poor in the eternal sense, we need to show mercy. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I have another look at a practical application of mercy. Psalm 37 and verse 21. It says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands." If you want to follow after the righteous, if you want to follow in the steps of a good man, show mercy. Basically, that's what it's talking about here. Show mercy. All right? It's probably a practical application here. If you've borrowed something off someone, you better return it. But basically, we need to be merciful to those around us, and that will mark our steps as a good man, that will mark our steps as the righteous. And there is reward if you follow in these steps. There is a reward. Let's turn to Proverbs 21 and look at this reward. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, beginning at verse 20. "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling place of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honour." If you want a reward from the Lord, follow after mercy, life, righteousness, honour. If you want a life that can be looked upon as valuable in eternity, then follow after mercy. Have mercy on people. There's a reward. Number four, C, consistent mercy. Let's turn to Psalm 85. Psalm 85, consistent mercy. And what I mean by this is consistent with the character of God. Consistent with the character of God. Psalm 85 and verse 10. "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." God's attributes and character are never found opposed to each other. Kate, you need to think about that one for a little while. God's attributes and his character are never found opposed to each other. "As grace and truth came by his Son, so in the work of his Son, mercy and truth harmonize." Now, some people, when they think about God, they think of him as the judge. Some people would like to think of him as the God of love. And you think, how can those two things be the same? Well, they are. Because it's God's love that gave us our great salvation, isn't it? God's mercy will never stray from his holiness, his righteousness, or his truth. So whatever God does, he does it as a righteous judge. His mercy will never override his holiness, his righteousness, or his immutability. God doesn't change. He is always merciful. All of God's attributes will work together as one in perfection. Now, you could just think about that and have a little bit of a thought about those sorts of things through this week. How that all God's character, his attributes, all harmonize together. There's not this bit over here that's separate from this bit over here. Okay? Yeah, mercy and truth go together, mercy and grace go together, that makes sense. But there's God the righteous judge over here and God the loving God over here. That doesn't quite make sense. That's to us it doesn't make sense. And we struggle to understand that in our flesh and in this present time, in our finite existence. But we've got to remember something about God and something about his character and something about his mercy is this, that God is an everlasting God. God is an infinite God. God's character is infinite. God's character is everlasting. God's mercy is everlasting. God's mercy is infinite. So they all go together for our benefit, because that's where God channels his love toward us. There are many, many verses in the book of Psalms that tell us that this mercy is an everlasting mercy. Just one of them. And we could probably turn to, there's one psalm in particular that every single verse it says, "And his mercy endureth forever, and his mercy endureth forever." And it just goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you think that's put there for an example for us, that his mercy endureth forever? We're not looking at that one though, but we know it's there. Psalm 100 and verse 5 says this, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." His mercy reflects his character. It goes on forever. It's infinite. His mercy reflects his character, and we should have that same reflection of his light as well. We should have that mercy in us. We should have that same sort of consistent character that God has. We should show mercy consistently. And finally this evening, the last one, why? Your personal mercy. What does God's mercy mean to you personally? Is it something that will be with you all the days of your life? It is. It is something that is with you all the days of your life. What does Psalm 23 and verse 6 say? Ken preached about it a few weeks ago, Psalm 23 and verse 6. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And it talks about what there? It talks about his mercy in the same idea. The same idea. If you know the Lord as your Saviour, God's with you. He says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." And that means this. Does his mercy disappear from you from one day to the next? No, because every day it's new to you. God said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Therefore, his mercy is there every single day. Do you think there are people in the Bible that knew this? Let me just show you one quick little one. In Genesis chapter 39, it says this in verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph." Do you agree that the Lord was with Joseph? He sure was. He led him, he guided him in his life, and perhaps sometimes Joseph really wondered about it. The Lord was with Joseph. In this verse here, where was Joseph? He was in jail. He'd just been falsely accused and thrown in jail. But it says there, "But the Lord was with Joseph," and then what does it say? "And showed him mercy and gave him favour in the sight of the keeper of the prison." If the Lord's with you, his mercy is with you. That's something to take on board, isn't it? To know, oh, the Lord's with me, his mercy is with me. Do you think Joseph could be confident in that fact? He could. And he served the Lord exactly where he was in prison, and he was blessed. He was blessed. As the Lord was with Joseph, he can be with you, and he can show his mercy through you and to you. Even in times when you just seem to fail. You have times like that? Happens, doesn't it? More than often. Even when you fail and are weak and have fallen into sin, you need mercy, don't you? And it's there. It's there for you. That's when God wants you to show you his mercy. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's have a look there. Even in those times when you think you've failed, it says this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, most times when I think of this verse, I think of, when I need something, I can go boldly to the throne and ask him for that need. Okay, you've got a bill to pay, you've got this to do. Is there anyone like that here? Think, yeah, when I really need something, I'll go to God, he'll show me mercy, he'll supply my needs. But then I looked at it as I was studying this out, God's mercy, and I looked back a little bit and we see we've got this high priest in verse 14. Coming boldly to the throne doesn't always mean coming with your hand out saying, gimme, I need this right now. Coming boldly to the throne is, Lord, I failed again. Lord, I really need your mercy now. That's what I need. That's what I need. I've fallen into that sin again. Lord, I really need your mercy now. You can come boldly in that time. And I tell you what, that's a greater time of need than any other time, isn't it? To come to the high priest and say, look, I've done this, I confess this. Do you reckon God will give you mercy then? He sure will. It's really what God desires. God has this desire to give you mercy. Let's have a look in Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, and it says this. And it's the Lord talking here, and he's talking to Ephraim, and he says this. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Okay, we've heard the verse back in Samuel, God desires obedience more than burnt. But here, God wants to show us his mercy. That's his desire. He wants us to experience his mercy. He wants us to show others mercy as well. He wants that more than burnt sacrifice. But notice what it's also linked with. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God wants you to know him in a very personal way. That's what he's saying. He doesn't want some outward show of you turning up at such and such a time every Sunday. That's just being obedient to what he wants. But he doesn't want that outward show. What he really desires is for you to have a personal relationship with him and to know him personally. And then you will know all about his mercy. Because then you will see what you're really like compared to what God is really like. You will see, boy, I really need your mercy, Lord. And you will see how great God's mercy is. God desires to show us his loving kindness. He desires us to know him in a richer and a fuller way. He's not going to hide things from you if you want to know about it. When we have that desire to know him, we will see his mercy. We will see him in a richer and a fuller way. We will experience his mercy and loving kindness from a perspective that perhaps we've never had before. Take time to know God. Take time to study out and to know who God really is. Why is it that God would show us his mercy? And also take time, as we've mentioned before, take time to give thanks to God for his mercy because, as Paul said, he truly is a blessed God and a God to be blessed. Let's take that on board, shall we? And perhaps tomorrow, as you wake up tomorrow morning and God's mercy is fresh and new to you, take that time to say, thank you, Lord, for your mercies to me today. Help me to know you in a richer and a fuller way. Help me to see and be able to experience your mercy today. So there's our little acrostic of mercy. A mercy manifested and revealed. Mercy extended and fulfilled. mercy recommended or required, a consistent mercy, and then we would just look for a little bit at your personal mercy.